Later, when I was supposed to be in bed, I went down the hall for a drink of water and heard Atticus and Uncle Jack in the living room. I shall never marry Atticus.
Why?
I might have children, Atticus said.
You've a lot to learn, Jack.
I know. Your daughter gave me my first lesson this afternoon. She said I didn't understand children much and told me why. She was quite right. Atticus, she told me how I should have treated her. Oh, dear, I'm so sorry I romped on her. Atticus chuckled. She earned it, so don't feel too remorseful. I waited on tenterhooks for Uncle Jack to tell Atticus my side of it, but he didn't. He simply murmured, "Her use of bathroom invective leaves nothing to the imagination. But she doesn't know the meaning of half she says. She asked me what a whore lady was."
"Did you tell her?"
"No, I told her about Lord Melbourne." "Jack, when a child asks you something, answer him for goodness sake. But don't make a production of it. Children are children. But they can spot an evasion quicker than adults, and evasion simply muddles them." "No," my father mused, "you had the right answer this afternoon, but the wrong reasons. Bad language is a stage all children go through, and it dies with time when they learn they're not attracting attention with it. Hot-headedness isn't. Scout's got to learn to keep her head and learn soon with what's in store for her these next few months. She's coming along, though. Jim's getting older, and she follows his example a good bit now. All she needs is assistance sometimes." "Atticus, you've never laid a hand on her."
"I admit that. So far, I've been able to get by with threats."
"Jack, she minds me as well as she can. Doesn't come up to scratch half the time. But she tries."
"That's not the answer," said Uncle Jack.
"No, the answer is she knows I know she tries. That's what makes the difference. What bothers me is that she and Jim will have to absorb some ugly things pretty soon. I'm not worried about Jim keeping his head, but Scout'd just as soon jump on someone as look at him if her pride's at stake."
I waited for Uncle Jack to break his promise. He still didn't.
"Atticus, how bad is this going to be? You haven't had too much chance to discuss it."
"It couldn't be worse, Jack. The only thing we've got is a black man's word against the Yules. The evidence boils down to you did, I didn't. The jury couldn't possibly be expected to take Tom Robinson's word against the Yules. Are you acquainted with the Yules?"
Uncle Jack said yes. He remembered them. He described them to Atticus, but Atticus said,
"You're a generation off. The present ones are the same, though."
"What are you going to do, then?"
"Before I'm through, I intend to jar the jury a bit. I think we'll have a reasonable chance on appeal, though. I really can't tell at this stage, Jack. You know, I'd hope to get through life without a case of this kind, but John Taylor pointed at me and said, 'You're it. Let this cup pass from you, eh?'"
"Right. But do you think I could face my children otherwise? You know what's going to happen as well as I do, Jack. And I hope and pray I can get Jim and Scout through it without bitterness. And most of all, without catching Maycomb's usual disease. Why reasonable people go stark raving mad when anything involving a Negro comes up is something I don't pretend to understand. I just hope that Jim and Scout come to me for their answers instead of listening to the town. I hope they trust me enough."
"Jean Louise?"
My scalp jumped. I stuck my head around the corner.
Sir? Go to bed. I scurried to my room and went to bed. Uncle Jack was a prince of a fella not to let me down, but I never figured out how Atticus knew I was listening, and it was not until many years later that I realized he wanted me to hear every word he said.